I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter. Well, I tell you what, you go ahead and follow with me. Proverbs 18. We're going to take a break tonight from our study in the book of Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 20 presently. We're going to take a look at marriage tonight. And don't consider in your heart, say, because we're going to end up in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Say, well, I know who this is for. This is for all of us. We all need this. Okay, this world and this day in which we live is assailing the home, assailing marriage, and we need to know what the Word of God says. And we need to be shored up in it. We need to know as a church what the Word of God says. And so we're going to try to take a look at this chapter tonight and in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, but a few verses beforehand. We saw in Proverbs 18, 22, the scripture says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." And I would say that would be the case for marriage. You know, there's gender-specific things in the scripture, but I think that this verse, we could certainly apply it. Whoso findeth a husband findeth the good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. It's the Lord's design. You and I remember that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. That's what the Lord said after His creation on the sixth day. And what had He created then? Well, mankind. And He had created mankind, and He had made marriage. And behold, it was very good, a distinction made from the other 5 days of the Lord's creation. He said everything was good, but on the sixth day it was very good. And He had made mankind in His image and likeness. He had created marriage, and He had done so before sin. Before sin entered in the world. And so this blessing of marriage that we have is from the other side of sin. It's from the garden. And it's God's design. Hebrews 13, marriage, verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." God's made us, men and women, the way He's made us. We're talking to the young men in a devotion up at the Focus on Singles Conference when it was just the young men that were there at Brother Al's house. And understand, God has not made an error in the way He has created us. A desire for marriage, a desire for intimacy with one particular one of the opposite gender, those things are not dirty. We've been sold a bill of goods in the world that it's dirty. But it's not held in its right place. It's the good miracle and wonder and blessing of God. He's done that. But He will judge those that go at it and pursue that drive, even if you will, that need of the flesh. He will judge those that don't do it God's way, don't take care of that, and deal with that in an honorable way that He's made there in marriage. And in Matthew chapter 19, we'll quickly look at this passage. I told you we're going to be busy tonight. I know you're tired, and I appreciate you being here. And you've made the commute and purpose to come, and I'm glad that you have. But here in Matthew chapter 19, just a precursor to where we're heading, in Matthew 19, verse number 1, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, He departed from Galilee and came to the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them there." Verse 3, "The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him and saying unto Him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And He answered," Jesus answered, "and said unto them, Have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" That was His design. He designed the genders. He purposed to do it. He made Adam of the dust of the ground. He made Eve from Adam's rib. And he formed them and brought them together and said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." There's that leaving and cleaving principle that's there. And that cleaving is so much so that they become one. Yeah, physically they are two, but the Lord says they are to become one. "Wherefore they are no more twain," no more two, "but one flesh." The Lord even refers to them in Genesis there early on. He refers to them as Adam. Okay, that's an interesting thing that's there. You can go look that up, or I'll help you find it if you want to. But the reference to them was Adam, his name. Therefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh, verse 6. Wherefore, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Okay, that putting away is to put a distance between, to break the marriage, to not have that living together anymore. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. There was a putting away, there was a writing of a divorcement, but it came because of hardness of the heart. We need to note that. Was it God's design? No. Did he allow it? Yes. Tricky question. Does it make it right? No. It's not the design. But to deal with that hardness of the heart and to deal with things, because there was things that were specific in that and the way that was to be done in that, the hardness of the heart, see, there was an element there, if we understand historically, even to the Lord's time, that wives and women and children were just maybe a notch or two above cattle, unless there was the firstborn male son. And so when the Lord came, and he came to save and seek sinners, he came to tell about marriage, how it should be, and we have that example about marriage, about how it is with the Lord and his church, and he never kicks her around. Amen? Right. But he loves her and he nurtures her and he cherishes her, and that's the way the relationship's to be. The Lord said, let the children come. And the scriptures say there in the book of Acts that there were those that were added to the church, both men and women. And it's to let that be known, that there is a thing, I believe, that had been departed from in that day and in that culture, that things had departed from the way the Lord had designed. There is a responsibility in leadership. We're not going to get into all that tonight, but there is a value of souls and people, and there is value in marriage, and children are a heritage of the Lord. And there was hardness that the Lord allowed Moses to give a writing divorcement. Verse 8, and he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And namely, the Lord at this point is talking to the men. But I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication. There's the one reason. I see that. There's the one reason. Fornication, intimacy with another, not one that they're married to, but intimacy with another, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Okay, and so the Lord says they're to be one, and they're to be reconciled. That's what the Lord says, the way it was designed, that was the way it was to be. These fellas would put away a wife because she would get old, because she wouldn't please him in some way, or she couldn't cook as well, or couldn't clean as well, or whatever. And said, the Lord says, no, you enter into marriage, you've got that spouse. And that's what the Lord expects, and that's what the Lord commands. And we're going to see some things relative to that. So that brings us to that necessity that we cultivate our marriages. And life is busy. Fears are at hand. Different things of this world come in. We get our focus off of things important, but we need to cultivate our marriages. In our relationship with our spouse, our spouses need to be our best friend. Need to be our best friend. That's the way that should be. And we need to cultivate that. We need to work on that. And we need to understand and know that love is a mindset. There are emotions involved in love, and there are feelings and yearnings, and the Lord preached about Sunday morning about how that yearning from within of the Lord's love for us and his mercy towards us, that we need to set our hearts and our spouses, and we need to cultivate that and work on that and cause that to grow. Otherwise, we'll end up with a mess on our hands. And always praying that the Lord will help us and bless us in it. I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 2. Moses was given the okay to write that writing of divorcement, it was because of the hardness of heart, and the Lord never planned it that way or intended it to be that way. If I can find Malachi here with you. And Malachi, but listen to what the Lord says. Right here at the close of the Old Testament, in chapter 2, Malachi chapter 2, verse number 16, Malachi chapter 2, last book in the Bible, or the Old Testament rather, last book in the Old Testament. For the Lord God, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. He hates it. And we need to hate it. And we all have folks in our families and those we know of that are divorced. And what we know of people, and just recently talking to some, remembering some occasions way back of abusive spouses to another. I mean physically abusive. And sometimes those things happen and that's just the way that is, and they need to be taken apart from one another. It's that way. But it's not what the Lord wants. The Lord hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. And so we need to remember what these things that the Lord has commanded. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's take a look over here and let's walk through this passage. Recently I've talked to some, and there's been some, I believe, some liberty taken with this chapter in their understanding and their consideration of this chapter, a justification for what they seek to do. It's not right. And my regret is I didn't teach on it sooner. I should have done that. I wish I would have been sensitive to that, and I wasn't. And I pray the Lord help me and forgive me as pastor in that. But tonight's the night we're going to deal with this. And pray that the Lord will help us and bless us with it. This is here. This is written to a church, the church at Corinth. It's written to saints. Now, this church in Greece is here, and the apostle has had inquiry about issues that the church wanted answers about. Okay, chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. So they evidently had some inquiry. They had some question. They had something that they wanted to know. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Because when he does so the first time, he's going to want to continue to do so. We're programmed, we're built that way. That's not dirty, and that's not wrong. That's the design of God, but that needs to be in its right place. Remember, Brother Mark just showed me something about regarding the creation and how humanism and society and mankind has things backwards. The greatest part of God's creation on this earth is mankind. We're to be in dominion of everything else. And dominion doesn't mean abuse, okay? As leaders in our homes, brethren, and men, we're to be right and good and hear what the Lord, word of the Lord says, and how the Lord would be a husband and a father. That's what our goal is. I mentioned to you about there at the end of the book of Proverbs. It tells about the account of that virtuous woman. And I think that that's there because you and I, men, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our example about how to be. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example as children of God always, but then that woman is told about there in Proverbs chapter 31 so that you ladies would have an example about the pursuit that God has given you and being a wife and being a mother. Because the Lord Jesus, if he were involved in that, he would behave a way, but there's an element there that it's inordinate to understand the Lord in that way. So that example of the woman is there. I believe that that's really there. But men, we have the Lord Jesus Christ directly. Because he loves his wife, and he cares for her, and he cares for her in every way. And so, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, verse 2, to avoid fornication, intimacy outside of the bonds of holy matrimony, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, one. Every man, one, singular, and every woman, let her have her own husband. Singular, 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 singular. That's the way it's to be. And once that relationship, once they enter into marriage, then it's to be that way until death do us part. That's the way that the Lord has ordained it. I didn't tell you everything. Brother Mark had this up here about creation. in regards to marriage and this relationship that ends up in marriage, the world's got it backwards. The world starts off with the body, and then if there's time for the soul, and then maybe the spirit, there's something there with the spirit maybe later on. The Lord says the order is spirit first. There's no compatibility there. Don't even go any further. And then after that, that of the soul, and then lastly of the body. The world's got the order messed up. Body, soul, and maybe spirit. And I say it that way because people don't, naturally, we don't think about things spiritual. But the Lord says it should be spiritual, and then it should be that of the soul and that physical. To you that are not saved, if you're here and you're not saved, so you need to be saved. But if it is so that you come through life, you need to make sure that there's compatibility in that order to what those things that exist to the best that you can. Do you see that the Word of God says that you should worship God and you should hear Him in His Word and obey Him in His Word and the moral law of God, if you will? You see that and you hear that, you should do that because that's God's Word to you. Now, you can't be saved doing that. Now, you hear that you've been instructed by your parents and taught of your parents and taught by the saints of God and the church of God that you need to be near the church of God so you can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peradventure, the Lord will work in your heart, save your soul. Don't go away from that. And if you find yourself in a time of life where you need to, there's a desire there that for you to marry in that, I say consider your soul first, but then look for someone that is of the same heart and mind. Don't be unequally yoked even in the things that you do have. That's a conclusion I've come to. And again, your soul is the most important thing, but don't be unequally yoked in the things that you have. And so we'll just mention that there. Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife, do benevolence. This word benevolence means kindness or conjugal duty, goodwill. And that's part of what marriage is to be. It's for the purpose of it. Likewise, also the wife unto the husband. That intimacy is never to be a bargaining chip. It's never to be something to barter with. It's never to be something to hold other over the other spouse's head, if you will, to get something. That is to never be. That's what this is talking about. Listen, verse 4, the wife hath not power over her own body. I didn't know that getting into marriage. Well, it's too bad. It's the way that it is. It's the way that it is. You belong to Him. Listen, men, likewise also the husband hath not power. That word power is talking about authority upon, to bring under, or to have the power or control of. We in marriage are responsible to one another with our bodies. I don't like that. Tell God that. It's not my rule. It's not my command. It's what God says. And having known it and having heard it from the Word of God, we, all of us in the room, are responsible for it. And you say, well, I'm not married, but that one, what you do with your body now will affect that one that you may marry someday. And you're responsible now at all times. So the bodies belong to one another. Verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time. Just a time. And listen, that spiritual things might be pursued, not an angry fit. Not a prolonged disagreement. When we have a disagreement, when Clarissa and I have a disagreement, or we maybe really get heated at one another, we need to work that thing out. If we behave like children in it, then we will destroy the blessing that we have. And that what happens when pride and contention comes in, there's going to be a room and opportunity for every evil work. Sometimes we have to give in that which we want personally. The word compromises may be used. Doesn't need to be, but that doesn't even need to be in a bad way. Am I disobedient? If I'm disobedient as a husband before the Lord, I need to get that right. Okay? And not leverage my wife in my disobedience. Defraud ye not one another, except to be for consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And come together again. That's a command, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. If this part, the physical part of marriage is used as a bargaining chip, if it is broken or just compromised or destroyed, it's an opportunity for Satan to get in there and in many different ways others be brought into the marriage. Through fornication and the committing of adultery in that, intimacy with another, pornography, a bad attitude. Don't ever talk to somebody. I mean, sometimes we need to have counsel, but don't ever talk bad about your spouse in front of somebody else. Don't do that. It's no good. It doesn't help. Even in joking, don't rail upon your spouse before another. Don't rail upon your spouse even publicly. We don't, and I know sometimes we joke, but we got to watch that not go too far, because it'll compromise that. And because if Satan can get in there and work, and I've told you, and I believe it's so, we who are saved, the Spirit of God dwells within, and Satan cannot get within us. I don't believe that that's possible, but he can sure hit us with temptation and others around us not saved and the media of the world and the wickedness of the world. Do you think that Satan would change the programming on TV, the internet, the newspaper, whatever, to hit you? He'll do it. He'll do it, child of God. He will do it. A roaring lion has got power, and he's got claws, and he's got an overwhelming ability to pursue his prey. And he'll do it to us. May God help us to know that. We don't need to reverence Satan as we do God, but we do need to be aware of who he is and how he works. And the temptations that we face today indeed are great. Verse number 6, but I speak this by permission and not commandment. Well, wait a minute, okay, then I don't have to listen to it. No, you got to understand it made it to the Word of God. It's the Word of God. He says, the Lord is allowing me to say this. And there's another thing that's maybe this way later on in this passage. It doesn't mean that in regards to this, we're off the hook. It's the Word of God. It made it into the canon of Scripture, and it is the Word of God, and we need to hear what it says. For I would that all men were even as myself. This is his desire. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. It seems that the Apostle Paul is not married. He's single. And he's been called being single. And he's continued on being single. And we believe that that's the reference that he's making here. Verse 8, and I say therefore unto the unmarried and widows, it is good for them to abide even as I. If you're not married, stay unmarried. If you're a widow, stay unmarried. That's his advice. That's his personal advice. If you have that gift of the Lord, do so. But understand, that's what it requires. It does require a proper gift of God to do so. Okay? Verse number 8, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them to abide even as I. Verse 9, but if they cannot contain, exercise self-restraint, cannot be temperate, then let them marry. But of course, only in the Lord. It's going to tell that later on in the passage. Only in the Lord. That's the only way. And so there may be a desire to marry, but until the Lord provides the one, then there can be no marrying. There can be no relationship with the opposite gender in that intimate way reserved and found in marriage. If they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And of course, this is talking about that of the fire and the yearning of the body, the desire that the Lord has given there. But that's got to be held in check till the Lord provides a spouse, a right kind of spouse. For those who are saved and members of the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church, a Baptist spouse. Don't be marrying a Presbyterian or a Methodist or some other whatever, a Catholic. Don't be doing that. Don't be marrying a Baptist that you don't have agreement on doctrine. Because I tell you what, you may be able to deal with it yourself, but then you'll be put in a strait when those kids come along. And the thing is, you put the kids in a strait where they have to choose. And then it just goes on and on and on and on. The Lord knows what He's doing. We just need to hear Him, submit to it, and believe Him, trust Him in it, don't we? And verse number 10, And unto the married, he talked to those that were unmarried. He said, by permission. But unto the married I command, as an apostle, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Let not the husband depart from her wife. We can take the genders and we can mix them up. This word depart is talking to go away. Reflexively, to go away, to depart, to put asunder, to separate. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Let not the husband depart from her wife. That's what God says. Not Jim Duke, but God. That's what he says. Verse 11, but I've got an out. But and if she depart. I'm talking about this to a brother. He made an excellent point in this that this is not an out for the first part. The first part says what it says. But then if one goes ahead and disobeys the Lord in the first part, then here's the next contingency that's on you. But if she depart or he depart, let he or she remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband or to their spouse. You go ahead and depart. Don't be going to marry another, because they've already got disobedience and departing. Don't compound that by then pursuing yet another. If she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And this is where, how it is. Reconciliation is what's desired of the Lord. You know what? It may take some mercy on the part of spouses to reconcile. God loves mercy. It may take some repentance. You know what? We never need to be afraid to say, I apologize to our spouses. Don't get the big head and say, because there's times that we do, we're human, we have error, we sin, and we need to never be afraid to say that we apologize to our spouse. Because it's necessary. We need to value the relationship so. And I'm not talking about caving for what's right. I'm not talking about that. But let her be reconciled to her husband. Let the husband be reconciled to his wife. And let the husband put away. This word reconciled is to put it back together. All right? To make up the difference, okay, to change mutually, reconcile to change mutually, and then this putting away, which God says that He hates in the Old Testament, is talking about forsaking and laying aside and leaving and sending away and yielding up and so on. But verse 11, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. This sentence is capped with don't depart and don't put away. And if you go ahead and disobey, remember that part in the middle, because that's what's next. But don't disobey in the first place. May God help us in that. Verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. The same putting away is the same that we saw in the previous verse, in verse 11. If there's a husband and wife, and one doesn't believe, one is not a believer, apistos, not a believer. As we who are saved, we believe in Christ, we trust in Christ. But if it be so that one is not a believer, how does this come about? Well, Brother Jim, that's an avenue there that I can marry somebody that's not saved. No, it's not. These people were saved after they were married. That's the reference here. He says, if they have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Just because she's not a believer, if she's pleased to abide there and live there, and they have the relationship and continue relationship and marriage that they can have, then don't put her away. Don't set her apart. Don't yield her up. Don't forsake her. Verse 13, and the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Same word as put away in the Greek. Okay, leave him. Leave in verse 13 is the same as put away in verse 12. Exact same word. A woman that hath a husband that believeth not, if she be pleased to, and he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified or set apart by the wife. The unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean. Okay. They're not impure. Okay, they're not foul, but now they are holy. Doesn't mean that they're saved or a saint, but that which marriage yields, generally children, and the design of the Lord for the filling of the earth, is yet right in its place. Verse 15, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. This doesn't talk about the believing departing. This is talking about the unbelieving departing. That's what it says. And we can get into this, and of course the way it is in this subject, the way it is, it's these kind of situations are always tough. They always, everyone I've ever heard of and seen is always difficult. But the scripture says, if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Under bondage, what does that mean? Well, to be a servant to. And I'll be honest with you. I am looking to understand what the under bondage is. The context is, and the beginning here is about a man not touching a woman. To avoid fornication, let there be marriage. That's what God has designed it for. Let the spouses render due benevolence one to another. The bodies of the one another's spouse belong to the other. If they depart, they're not under bondage to fulfill that intimacy of marriage. That's where I'm at with that right now. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't say that the marriage should still be held together. And it's not an opening to go out and chase another. Amen. But to make what you have, what we have, work. Here's the challenge. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? This word save is talking about healing or preserving. To do well, to make whole. Can you say that if it is such that the unbelieving is pleased to dwell with the believer, that you can't be used to be a witness, used of the Lord, and seeing your faithfulness to the Lord even in that marriage when it's out of whack? Sister Marie Lawson, she was saved. She and you've met them, Brother Orville, Sister Marie Lawson. The Lord saved her first. And these folks partied. When it came Friday, they took all the furniture out of the house and put it out in the yard, and they partied all weekend. And they spent every dime that Orville brought home and whatever she made, they spent it on liquor and booze and stuff, and they partied all weekend unless it rained. Then they moved in the house. I mean, they'll tell you, they lived in wickedness and sin. The Lord saved Marie. And Orville said, what's wrong with this woman? She won't go to the bar with me. She won't do this with me anymore. She won't put up with that. But she still behaves like she loves me. As a matter of fact, she started treating me rather than beating on me and doing things to me and all that. She started doing and being kind to me. What is going on? This can't last very long. Well, the Lord had got a hold of Marie and saved her. And it lasted. And Orville saying, wish I had what she has. And he got interested, and the Lord in time saved him. Going to leave the spouse if there's pleasure on the part of the unbelieving to stay. Going to say for the believer, going to say that there's no hope. Well, while there's life, there's hope. Well, there's life in the Lord, there's hope. Can't make the unbelieving deal with it, but we who are saved, we are called to a higher call in that. Difficult? circumstances and situations at hand that I would understand? No. But this is what the Lord has said. For what sayest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Verse 16. And then verses 17 through 24. This thought in verse 17, I believe, is going forward in the thought, okay, not backward, but forward in the thought. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. And the apostle can do that. He says, this is the way it's to be. Listen, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Ah, I'm free from the law. No, we need to obey the moral law of God. He's not talking about that. Okay, he's not talking about that. But he's saying about where you're at, when the Lord saves you, yeah, get rid of the wickedness and the sin. We've been saved from that. But then where you're at, serve God. Listen to what he says. Let every man abide, verse 20, in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Are you a servant? Then serve the Lord well, being a servant. We have a hard time understanding that as far as being a slave or such. But where you're saved, serve the Lord there. If you're able to be made free as a servant, then take that advantage and use it for the Lord. You use that for the Lord. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. The Lord, we can't imagine what it's like to be owned. We just can't fathom that. And even in that relationship there, the child of God that's there, being in that marriage, and what the Lord's called them to do may seem impossible, but the Lord can help with it. If he can help a slave be a witness there, remember what, remember about Onesimus and Philemon? That's in the scripture for a reason. And I'm not the example, but the Lord has given this for a reason. Verse 23, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Following after this way of divorce, and breaking up marriages and this putting away, that is the work of men. Not working on a marriage and not fulfilling the part in a marriage that the Lord has given and seeking to improve at doing that, that's the way of men. The way that God has called us to do is what we need to follow. Because therein is the place of blessing. Be not the servants of men. Don't take the attitude of men about marriage. But seek the Lord's face in it. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide in God. Verse 24. Verse 25. Now concerning virgins or those who have not been married, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. Oh, well, I can take this or leave it. No, it made it into the scripture. It is the word of God. As one hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful, he said, I am able to be single. God has given me this. Verse 26, I suppose therefore that it is good for the present distress, I say, that it is good for a man so to be. What they were dealing with in that day, there at Corinth and other churches in Asia Minor, and the persecution that is at hand, he says, are you bound to a wife? Verse 27, seek not to be loosed. Even for this distress. Is it hard for you to endure the persecution because you've got that wife? Seek not to be loosed. But deal with it when the way that you are found. Are you loose from a wife? Don't seek a wife. Okay? And that was for the distress at hand. Because see, the bond of marriage is to be there, and he gives advice about going into marriage because of the persecution, I believe, that is at hand. Verse 28, but and if thou marry, you're not married, my recommendation to you is to not to marry because of the present distress. But if thou marry, verse 28, thou hast not sinned. Okay? Because it is the design of the Lord. If a virgin or a woman, not having been married, marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. What's that all about? You know what that word trouble is? It's that same word tribulation that we looked at here Wednesday or two ago. Whenever that was, last Wednesday? Maybe? I can't remember. They go together on me. Marriage isn't going to be easy. There's going to be tribulation in marriage. There's going to have to be working in marriage. It's going to take some labor. But if we take what the Word of God says and we apply it and we seek the Lord's help and faith in it, we be joined to our spouse and the calling that the Lord has given us, there will be a blessing indeed. But there's going to be trouble in marriage. Why? Because where you have this old man, this sin. We got this old sin. And of course, we don't need to feed that. We don't need to feed the old man. He said, if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. If a woman not married marries, she's not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. There'll be things, and he'll explain that a little more. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He's making his case about why, if you're not married, to remain unmarried with the distress that they have at hand. He's saying, if you're unmarried, you can serve the Lord fully, and you don't have to worry about your wife, and don't have to worry about your children. You can give yourself fully to it. And that's just the case that he's presenting in being as he is. Verse 33, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And that's not wicked. But it's the necessity of being married that we are to seek to please our wives, brethren. And wives, you're to seek to please your husbands. It's to be that way. And so there is an element there that maybe compromises us. But remember, God has ordained marriage. It's a good thing. Okay, so this doesn't need to be a quandary. But understand how it is. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin, a woman married and not. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord. She can give herself fully to that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband, because there's a necessity there to please her husband. And that takes time. That takes effort. That takes concentration. And so this is not a condemnation of marriage, but rather a point of consideration for those single. That's what it amounts to. Verse 35, and that's not, this I speak for your own profit, that you may understand, you may gain. They'd ask questions, and he's answering them. Not that I may cast a snare upon you. I remember one that I knew when they were very young, and they read this passage, and they really became overwrought about that it was so, and they believed that they shouldn't be married, and it was really a problem to them. It really hurt their mind and troubled and bothered them because they had a desire to be married. He said, this is not for a snare, it's just consider it. Has the Lord called you to singleness? Well, the Lord will give you that. But it's not wrong to marry if you marry right and obey the Lord in it. He says, verse 35, and this I speak for your profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction, because that's what will happen if one is married. Does it mean that it's impossible to serve the Lord? No, there's nothing better than to serve the Lord with a spouse. The design of the Lord, and to be equally yoked, and the blessing of that, serving the Lord together, being dedicated one to another and together unto the Lord. That's a blessing of the Lord and a blessing indeed. Verse number 36. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, that's speaking of a daughter, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. Marriage is good even for our daughters to be married. Nevertheless, he that standeth fast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth what virgin doeth well. And we don't understand how this is, because this doesn't work this way in our society. We allow, we speak to our daughters and we talk to our children about it, but in our society, in our culture, once they get to a certain age, that's their decision between them and the Lord. And so it's not that it doesn't apply, it's just we've inherited the culture that we have and here we are. Children, you got good godly parents following the Word of God, you need to listen to them about who you marry. And parents, don't be selfish, but give advice of the Lord and from His Word. And if it be of the Lord, then bless it and pray the Lord's continued blessing upon it. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. We're kind of come full circle, kind of coming really around to what the Lord Jesus was talking about. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So marriage is permanent. That's the Lord's design. Divorce is because of hardness of heart. There is that and a way to deal with it, but it is not right. But she is happier if she so abide, after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. May the Lord help us to hear what He says and believe Him in it. May the Lord help us to cultivate our marriages. You that are not married, may you seek the Lord's face and who you should marry. And as it says in verse 20, I just read this verse again. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. Where the Lord's put you, live there and abide there. That's what that word abide means. And serve the Lord.